morning, everyone. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Kindle them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Prevenient Act, rounds to begin the day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day. And setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will. Thus making my prevenient act, I set all my acts of the day in order in you. Good morning, Blessed Mother, I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day as an act of love and the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day an act of love in your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who will live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God, for the love of the creature, I take this love in the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation, and making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone and has loved everyone and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will and work in the same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done from the first instant of her immaculate conception to her last breath. And as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the eternal Word made man and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The command prayer, Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning Offering in the Divine Will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the Divine Will, I entreat you, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you since your Immaculate Conception, the grace of never going astray. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my, yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing, and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will, and I place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiats of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you performed, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most infinite fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and in each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and in each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up to your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, within my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my Mother Mary and of Louisa. I place my I thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embrace, joys, and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I make my I thank you and I bless you, God. Flow in the relations of every creature, to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and prophets, of the souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the Divine Will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all anew, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light, I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light and beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me and thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it, I shall be always happy. I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as the creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the Divine Will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the Divine Will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the Divine Will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my greatest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me to form in me the life of the Divine Will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart. You will keep the keys of my will in your hand. You will keep my heart jealously and shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the Divine Will. Amen.
Prayer for Louisa's beatification. O Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the Divine Will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world, so that we may also glorify your name and enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen. Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, and every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the Divine Will. And in the same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved Divine Will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit and infuse in me the light so I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat.
Can someone tell me the date, please? Around
November 5th, 1925.
Okay, I got it. This will probably be the only reading I'll be able to read, and then I'll just listen. Okay. I'll hear them already. I hear them. November 5th, 1925. The Moans of the Holy Spirit. And this is the one we start on?
Yes.
Okay. the moans of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments, the requital of love of the soul. Maybe I should skip. Go ahead, Mary, I'm sorry. Thank you.
November 5th, 1925. The moans of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments. The return of love of the soul. I was fusing myself in the holy divine will according to my usual way. And while I was trying as much as I could to return my Jesus with my little love for all that he had done in redemption, my adorable and sweet love, Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, with your flight in my will, reach all the sacraments instituted by me, descend into their depths to give me your little return of love. Oh, how many of my secret tears you will find, how many bitter sighs, how many suffocated moans of the Holy Spirit. His moaning is continuous before the many delusions of our love. I'm sorry. His moaning is continuous before the many disillusions of our love. The sacraments were instituted in order to continue my life on earth and in the midst of my children. But alas, how many sorrows. This is why I feel the necessity of your little love. It may be small, but my will make it great. My love does not tolerate for one who must live in my will not to be associated with my sorrows, and not to give me her little return of love for all that I have done and that I suffer. So, my daughter, see how my love moans in the sacraments. If I see the newborn being baptized, I cry with sorrow, because while with baptism I restore his innocence, I find again my child. I gave back to him the rights over creation which he had lost. I smile at him with love and satisfaction. I make the enemy flee from him, that he may no longer have any right over him. I entrust him to the angels, and all heaven makes feast for him. Soon my smile turns into sorrow, the feast into mourning. I see that the one who is being baptized will be an enemy of mine, a new Adam, and maybe even a lost soul. Oh, how my love moans in each baptism, especially then if one adds that the minister who is baptizing him does not do it with the respect, the dignity, and the decorum which befit the sacrament containing a new regeneration. Ah, many times they pay more attention to a begettal, to just any show, than to administering a sacrament. So my love feels pricked by the baptizer as well as the baptized, and it mourns with inexpressible moans. Would you not want then to give me a return of love, a loving moan for each baptism, to keep company to my sorrowful moans? Move on to the sacrament of confirmation. Oh, how many bitter sighs. While with confirmation I restore his courage, I gave him back the lost strength, rendering him invincible to all his enemies and to his passions. He is admitted in the ranks of the milita of his Creator, so that he may fight in order to acquire the celestial fatherland. And the Holy Spirit gives him his loving kiss once again, lavishing 1,000 caresses on him and offering himself as the companion of his career. Many times, however, he feels he is being returned with the kiss of the traitor, his caresses being despised, his company shunned. How many moans, how many sighs for his return, how many secret voices to the heart, to the one who shuns him, to the point of getting tired of speaking. But no, it is all in vain. Therefore, do you not want to give your return of love, your loving kiss? your company to the Holy Spirit, who moans for such neglect. But do not stop. Continue your flight, and you will hear the anguishing moans of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of penance. How much ingratitude, how many abuses and profanations on the part of those who administer it and on the part of those who receive it. In this sacrament, my blood becomes active upon the contrite sinner in order to descend into his soul, to wash him, to embellish him, to heal him, and to strengthen him, to restore in him the lost grace, to place in his hands the keys of heaven, which sin had snatched away from him, to seal on his forehead the peaceful kiss of forgiveness. But alas, how many sorrowing moans and seeing souls approaching this sacrament of penance without sorrow, out of habit, almost as a vent of the human heart. Others, horrible to be said, instead of coming to find the life of their soul, grace comes to find death, to pour out their passion. Therefore, the sacrament is reduced to a mockery, to a nice chat, and my blood, instead of descending into them as cleansing, descends as fire, which withers them even more. And so, in every confession, our love cries inconsolably and sobbing repeat, human ingratitude, how great you are. Everywhere you try to offend me, and while I offer you life, you turn the very life I offer you into death. See then how our moans await your return of love in the sacrament of penance. Don't let your love stop here. Go through all the tabernacles, through each sacramental host, and in each host you will hear the Holy Spirit moan with inexpressible moans. The sacrament of the Eucharist is not only the life of the souls who receive it, but it is my own life, which gives itself to them. So the fruit of this sacrament is to form my life in them. Each communion serves to make my life grow, to develop it in such a way as to be able to say, I am another Christ. But alas, how few take advantage of it. Even more, how many times I descend into hearts, and they may make me find the weapons to wound me. They repeat it to me, the tragedy of the Passion. And as the sacramental species are consumed, instead of pressing me to stay with them, they force me to leave, bathed with tears, crying over my sacramental destiny. And I find no one to soothe my crying and my sorrowful moan. If you could break those veils of the host which cover me, you would find me bathed with crying, knowing the destiny that awaits me and descending into hearts. Therefore, let your return of love be continuous for each host in order to soothe my crying. You will render the moans of the Holy Spirit less sorrowful. Do not stop, otherwise we will not find you always together with us in our moans and in our secret tears. We will feel the void of your return of love. Donna, would you like to continue?
Sure, Terry. Descend into the sacrament of ordination. Here, yes, you will find our most intimate and hidden sorrows, the most bitter tears, the most harrowing moans. The ordination constitutes man to a supreme height, to a divine character, the repeater of my life, the administrator of the sacraments, the one who reveals my secrets, my gospel, the most sacred science, the peacemaker between heaven and earth, the bearer of Jesus to souls. But alas, how many times we see that the ordained will be a Judas for us, an usurper of the character which is impressed on him, Oh, how the Holy Spirit moans in seeing the ordained, snatching from him the most sacred thing, the greatest character which exists between heaven and earth. How many profanations! Each act of the ordained, not done according to the character which has been impressed on him, will be a cry of sorrow, a bitter crying, a harrowing moan. The ordination in the sacrament, which encloses all other sacraments together. Therefore, if the ordained is able to preserve whole within himself the character he has received, he will almost rescue the other sacraments. He will be the defender and the savior of Jesus himself. But not seeing this in the ordained, our sorrows increase even more. Our moans become more continuous and sorrowful. Therefore, let your return of love flow in each priestly act to keep company to the moaning love of the Holy Spirit. Let us outlend us the ear of your heart and listen to our profound moans in the sacrament of marriage. How many disorders in it! Marriage was raised by me as a sacrament in order to place it in sacred bond, the symbol of the sacrosanct Trinity, the divine love which it encloses. Therefore, the love which was to reign in the Father, in the Mother, and in the children, the concord and the peace among them, was to symbolize the celestial family. I was to have as many other families upon earth, similar to the family of the Creator, destined to populate the earth like as many terrestrial angels, who would then populate the celestial regions. But alas, how many moans in seeing many families of sin being formed in the marriage, which symbolize hell, with discord, with lack of love, with hatred, and which populate the earth like many rebellious angels who will serve to populate hell. The Holy Spirit moans with harrowing moans in each marriage, in seeing so many infernal dens being formed upon earth. Therefore, place your return of love in each marriage, in each creature which comes to the light. In this way, your loving moan will render our continuous moans less sorrowful. Our moans are not yet finished, so let your return of love reach the bed of the dying, when he receives the sacrament of extreme unction. But alas, how many moans, how many secret tears. The sacrament has the virtue of placing the dying sinner in safety at any cost, and it is the confirmation of sanctity for the good and the saints. It is the last bond which it establishes through its unction between the creature and God. It is the seal from heaven which it impresses in the redeemed soul in order to purify her and embellish her. It is the final touch which the Holy Spirit gives her in order to dispose her to leave the earth, so as to make her appear before her Creator. In sum, the extreme unction is the last display of our love. It is the last clothing of the soul. It is the settlement of all the good works, and therefore it acts in a surprising way in those who are alive to grace. With the extreme unction, the soul is as though covered by a celestial dew, which deadens as in one breath her passions, our attachments to the earth and to all that does not belong to heaven. But alas, how many moans, how many bitter tears, how many indispositions, how much negligence, how great the loss of souls, how few the sanctities it finds to be confirmed, how scarce the good works to be reordered and rearranged. Oh, if all could hear our moans, our crying upon the bed of the dying, in the act of administering the sacrament of extreme unction, all would cry with sorrow. Do you not want then to give us your return of love for each time this sacrament is administered, which is the last display of our love toward the creature? Our will awaits it everywhere. In order to have your return of love and your company to our moans and sighs.
Oh, that was very good teaching for all of us, and better teaching for some of us because of how we get involved in our sacramental life. You know, this reading alerts us not to become too casual, you know, about the sacraments that we receive, and to place ourselves in the divine will when we partake in the sacraments. It was a good one. It's easy to comprehend, and it'll give us more respect for sacraments, and it gives us more respect for the sacraments we attend, like ordinations, and the ones we don't partake, but we do partake to a degree. The next reading is on a subject we touch on every once in a while because it's so important. It says to fuse oneself in the divine will is the greatest act honoring our Creator. And we notice that so often when Louisa is, first let me contact Maureen and she can line up the readings that we're going to do. Page 378 introduces us to fusing, and all the footnotes. So it's page 378. But the first reading would be 82, and all those footnotes from 82 are start on page 378. Are you okay with that, Maureen?
Yeah, I have page 378. I don't have the footnotes yet, but I'll
okay.
find
Okay, well, the footnotes are 92 to 100.
Okay.
And they're on page 382.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. Yeah, what I was starting to say was that Louisa, so many times we see that the teaching will start out with Louisa saying, as I was fusing myself in the divine will, or something similar to that, to show that she's fusing herself so often in the divine will, because why? Because of the heading here. To fuse oneself in the divine will is the greatest act honoring our Creator. So we want to make sure that we understand fusing in the divine will and that we partake in fusing in the divine will. So we can start in page 82 to introduce us to fusing.
Oh, 82 or 378?
Well, no, it's page 82 for the initial reading, and then it'll direct you to page 378 after that for all the footnotes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I have it. Okay. To fuse oneself in the divine will is the greatest act honoring our Creator. November 9th, 1925. I was fusing myself in the holy divine will, according to my usual way, to then make my adoration to my crucified good. And since more than once I was caught by sleep, while doing my acts in the supreme volition, which never happened before, I could not complete the first thing, nor did I do the adoration. So I said to myself, first I will make the adoration to the crucifix, and then, if I am not surprised by sleep, I will fuse myself in the divine volition to do my usual acts. But while I was thinking this, my sweet Jesus came out from my interior, and placing his face close to mine, he told me, my daughter, I want you to fuse yourself in my will first, that you come before the Supreme Majesty to reorder all the human wills in the will of their Creator, to repair with my own will for all the acts of the wills of creatures opposed to mine. One will come out from us in order to divinize the creatures, and one will do what we want. When they reject this will to do their own will, it is the most direct offense to the Creator. It is denying all goods of creation and departing from his likeness. Do you think it's trivial that fusing yourself in my will, you place this will of mine as if on your lap, and that my will, though one, brings its divinizing act to each creature? That reuniting all these acts of my will together, you bring them before the Supreme Majesty, giving your will in return together with mine? And with your love, redoing all the acts opposite those of the creatures, you push my will to surprise the creatures once again with more repeated acts, so that they may know this holy will, receive it within themselves as prime act, love it, and do it in everything? The adoration of my wounds, more than one already, does it to me, but giving me back the rights of my will as the prime act which I did for man, this no one does it to me. Therefore, to do it is your duty. You, who have a special mission with my will, and if sleep surprises you while you do it, our Celestial Father will look at you with love, seeing you sleeping in his arms, seeing his little daughter, who, even while sleeping, holds in her little lap all the acts of his will in order to repair them, give love in return, and give to every act of our will the honor, the sovereignty, and the right that befits it. Therefore, first, fulfill your duty, and then, if you can, you will do also the adoration of my wounds. May Jesus be always thanked. Last night, thanks to his goodness, I did both. And now the reading on fusing is on page 82. Fusing Oneself in the Divine Will, from Father Iannuzzi's dissertation. Louisa presents the soul's ascent to God's eternal operation as an act of fusing itself in the divine will as Mary did. She notes that one cannot fuse oneself in the divine will without fusing oneself in the order of grace. This expression, often used with respect to the state of spiritual marriage by the mystical doctor Teresa of Avila, does not imply a confusion of wills, but in addition to the soul's resignation to and conformity with God's will, it also implies the soul's passivity to the dominion of God's will that the Holy Spirit brings about. In the soul's firm resolve to live in the divine will and to glorify God in all things, God comes to the aid of the soul by absorbing, reordering, and elevating its finite acts to his one eternal operation, thereby transforming them into spiritual sons and making the soul his echo. Because God's operation embraces heaven and earth, in the soul in whom it reigns, it multiplies graces for all creatures. It redoubles the glory of heaven, and it administers God's blessing to creation. Indeed, fusing oneself in the divine will is the most solemn act, the greatest one, the most important of all, as it empowers the soul to receive and administer all the blessings God's will contains. And now we'll go to the footnotes. They begin on 378. The first one is 92, I believe. No, the first one is 90 on page 378. Volume 17, October 6, 1924. My daughter, how beautiful it is to see a soul fuse itself in my will. As it fuses itself in my will, the created heartbeat takes its place and life in the uncreated heartbeat and forms a single heartbeat, excelling and beating together with the uncreated heartbeat. This is the greatest happiness of the human heart, to beat in the eternal heartbeat of its creator. My will makes it fly, and the human heartbeat flings itself into the center of its creator. May your life on earth be completely fused in me. Don't do any act without making it first enter within me. And every time you fuse yourself in me, I will pour in you new graces and new light, and I will become the vigilant sentry of your heart in order to keep far from you any shadow of sin. I will guard you as my own humanity, and I will command the angels to surround you like a crown, that you may be sheltered from everything and from everyone. My daughter, to all you have said concerning the fusing of yourself in my will, another application must be added, namely that of fusing yourself in the order of grace. In all that the Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do in those who are to be sanctified. My daughter, reorder yourself within me. And do you know how you can reorder yourself within me? By fusing your entire self in my will. Your very breath, heartbeat, and the air you breathe must form a continuous fusion in my will. By this means, order is established between the creator and the creature, whence it returns to the origin from which it came. All things are in perfect order and have their place of honor when they do not move from the origin from which they came. Once they move from their point of origin, all becomes disorder, dishonor, and imperfection. Only the acts done in my will restore themselves to that point of origin when the soul was created and take life within the eternal mode, bringing to their creator the divine homage and glory of his own will. All other acts remain below, awaiting the last hour of life for each one to undergo its own judgment and the pain it deserves. As there is no act done outside of my will, however good it may be, which can be called holy, pure, my daughter, as you pour yourself out in my will and fuse yourself in me, a spiritual son is formed in you. This is how the son is formed. as you keep thinking, loving, making reparation, and in everything that you do, you form rays, and my will, which constitutes the substance of these rays, makes itself their crown, thus forming the sun. Whence the spiritual sun is formed, that rises up in the air, and gently pours out its rays as dewfall upon all souls for the betterment of all. That is why the more you fuse yourself in me, the more suns you continue to form. Oh, how beautiful it is to see these suns, rising higher and higher, envelop all things within my own sun, and pour themselves out like the dewfall upon creatures for the betterment of all. And how many graces they impart to all souls. I am so taken in by this, that as souls fuse themselves in me in this way, I pour out upon them the dew of abundant graces of all kinds, so that they may form greater spiritual suns that pour out more abundant dew upon all. My will alone has sufficient light to let the souls form suns, and it gives this light to the soul who lives in my will, within its properties, and not to one who lives outside of it. So you must make up for all other creatures who have not possessed this unity with my will. Your work is great and long. You have much to do within my endless boundaries. My will hovers above all creation, and there is nothing in which my will has not impressed its seal. As I pronounced my fiat in creation, my will took dominion over all things, thereby became their life and preservation. Now this will of mine wants to enclose all things within itself to receive a response to its own noble and divine acts. My will wants to see its motion in the air, in the wind, in the fragrance, and in the light, hovering above all human acts in such a way that blending together, they may fuse together and form one single motion. This alone was the purpose of creation, for the emanations of our wills to be continuous. I want it, I demand it, and I expect it. This is why I am in such haste, for my will, its value and its effects to be known. I want souls who live in my will to do their acts through their continuous emanations in my will, so that they may diffuse their acts like the air which envelops everything, and so that their acts may multiply in all human acts, investing and enveloping everything as acts of my will. Then will I obtain the purpose of creation. My will shall rest in these souls and will form the new generation, and all things will have the double seal of my will, the fiat of creation and the echo of my fiat in souls. One act in my will offers me the act of all souls, loves me for all, and makes me perform the greatest excess of love and works for the good of souls. And when in my will I find the soul's one act in the step of all, loving me on behalf of all, in its own thoughts and words, my joy is so great that in my ardent love I say to it, you are doing what I did. For this I call you my echo, my love, the little echo of my life. Louisa relates, I started to fuse my entire poor being in the supreme will. And as I was doing so, I noticed the heavens opening, and I went up to meet the whole heavenly court, and all of heaven came toward me. And my sweet Jesus said to me, My daughter, fusing yourself in my will is the most solemn act, the greatest one, the most important of your entire life. To fuse yourself in my will is to enter the eternal mode, to embrace it, to impress upon it a mystical kiss, and to receive the treasury of the blessings that my eternal will contains. What is more, as the soul fuses itself in our supreme will, all heaven goes out to meet this soul, to convey to it all the blessings and glory that they possess. The angels, the saints, and the divinity itself convey everything to this soul, knowing that what they convey is conveyed in God's will, where everything is safe. What is more, in receiving these blessings, the soul multiplies them through its acts in the divine will, and in return gives to all of heaven double honor and glory. Therefore, by fusing yourself in my will, you put heaven and earth in motion. It is a new feast for all of heaven. And since fusing oneself in my will is to love and to give of oneself for each and every one, without excluding anyone, in my goodness, so as not to be won over in love by the soul in my will, I place within it all the blessings intended for each and every one and all conceivable goods that I possess within me. If you knew what you do and what happens when you fuse yourself in my will, you would eagerly yearn to do it continuously.
Very, very good. Very good, Marie. A thought came to me as we were reading through this. I can't tell you what to do with your time. You have your free time. You come here every morning. But if you want to set aside time to, if you're having trouble with the divine will, not getting it, this reading is the reading you have to read every day. So it covers up so much. And if you can, in any way you can, put aside time to read this this whole reading as often as you can, because you're going to get some little bits of information that will answer some of your questions, and it will bring you closer, very closer, much closer to being in the divine will. So work on that if you can. If you have that book, if you don't have the book, get it. Because it's so part and parcel to understanding the divine will. That's what we're all trying to do. And the more you understand it, the more you love it, and the more you'll be in it, and the sooner you'll be in it. Amen.
Cindy, I think you're up next.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw Rita's name. Okay.
Oh, was Rita here?
That's okay. Maybe she's not reading. November 9th, 1925. Fusing oneself in the divine will is the greatest act and the one which most honors our Creator. I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition according to my usual way, to then do my adoration to my crucified good. And since more than once, while doing my acts in the supreme volition, I had been caught by sleep, which would never happen before, I had not completed the first thing, nor done the adoration. So I said to myself, first I will do the adoration to the crucifix, and then if I am not caught by sleep, I will fuse myself in the divine volition to do my usual acts. But while I was thinking this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and, placing his face close to mine, told me, my daughter, I want you to fuse yourself in my will first, coming before the Supreme Majesty to reorder all human wills in the will of their Creator.
to repair with my own will for all the acts of the wills of creatures opposed to mine. Will came out of us in order to divinize the creature, and will do we want. And when this will is rejected by them to do their own will, it is the most direct offense to the Creator. It is to deny all the goods of creation.